Welcome to Triangle 411, the pulse that moves the Triangle world today. It's a vibrant collection of stories, medical breakthroughs, what's trending, social good, events, and boundless other adventures. A conversation pit of comedians, authors, chefs, sports figures, experts, the common and the uncommon. Here's the host of Triangle 411, Mary Innsbrucker.
Hi, friends. We've got a waiver on this one. The subject we will be discussing today, well, it's subject to many elements and should only be considered under a doctor's supervision. As always, Triangle 411 provides info, but never advice or endorsement. So, what is the subject? Well, it is one that has taken the world by storm. Some have gone as far as to call it a miracle. Oprah referenced an aha moment. Still others are shouting, "Where have you been all my life?" Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, need we say more? By now, almost everyone on the planet has heard of the promising horizon these weight loss meds decree. The infatuation is clearer. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, obesity is a medical condition that affects nearly 42% of people in the United States. And I've seen that figure fluctuate between 40 and 50. Addressing the problem is currently a multi-billion dollar industry. Barclays predicts a $100 billion global market for obesity drugs by around 2030. And you know, when a media giant such as Oprah professes their allure, it may be their success is a done deal. According to many reports, including a People magazine story, Oprah has admitted to using pharmaceutical help for weight loss, although she does not attach a name to which drug she uses. I think that's a good idea, or there might be a rush on that drug for sure. She was quoted in People magazine as saying, and this is the quote, "The fact that there is a medically approved prescription for managing weight and staying healthier in my lifetime feels like relief, like redemption, like a gift, and not something to hide behind and once again be ridiculed for. I am absolutely done with the shaming from other people and particularly myself," end quote. Well, you know, Oprah is not the only celebrity taking advantage of the GLP-1 class of medications. We've seen them all. All the celebrities who admit to it and the ones who don't. However, Triangle 411 is about the facts. So we have an obesity expert, not a celebrity, with us today to discuss this topic. Dr. Christopher McGowan is one of the few physicians in the nation who is triple board certified in internal medicine, gastroenterology, and obesity medicine, and is a world-renowned leader in endobariatrics, a new field of gastroenterology that aims to address the obesity pandemic without surgical intervention. That sounds good. He's also the founder of True You Weight Loss, located two locations actually, one in Cary, North Carolina, and the other in Atlanta, Georgia. This expert has been featured on countless media outlets, including NBC, The Today Show, and News Nation, just to name a few. We are fortunate to have him with us here today. Dr. McGowan, I am so happy you are here because I've got to tell you, I have struggled with my weight my whole life, and there isn't a diet out there that I have not tried. Atkins, Scarsdale, the string bean, the grapefruit. I cannot even look at grapefruit anymore, so I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me, Mary. Pleasure to join you, and you sure have tried them all. I haven't heard of the string bean diet before, but certainly the grapefruit diet.
You don't want to hear about the string bean. It is torturous. Okay, so now we hear Oprah calling these GLP-1 class of medications relief, redemption, a gift. What sets these meds apart, and why do they work when others have not?
Yeah, so this class of medications, which is the GLP-1 agonists, are just very different than anything that we previously had for the treatment of weight, primarily because they actually work. So historically, weight loss medications just weren't very effective. The average weight loss was maybe around 5 to 8% of body weight, which just isn't enough. And these are far more effective, 15 to 20% weight loss on average in clinical studies. But maybe more importantly is they really do suppress that hunger and the constant cravings for food and what people are calling food noise or food chatter. And that does give people a sense of freedom. And that can be quite a relief.
That's fantastic. And I just want to take a quick note in here about the knockoffs of this of these meds because, I saw this report about a lady that she was taking them and took them for like 7 months or something and saw no weight loss. And the interviewer was like, well, why'd you keep taking them if they didn't work? And it was very emotional. She just responded, hope. So what do we want to say about the knockoffs?
There's a very clear message, which is do not use them. There are only several prescription approved versions of these medications. You have Wegovy and Ozempic, one being for weight, one being for diabetes. And you have Mounjaro and Zepbound, which is the diabetes and weight versions of that same medication. That is it. So anything else out there is a knockoff. It is a compounded version. It is an unapproved, unregulated version. And they're simply not the same. And unfortunately, not everyone can really understand that or tell the difference depending on what type of advertising is coming towards them. But the fact is they're not the same. They're unregulated. They're not going to work as well. And they're potentially going to put people at risk. So you should not take them.
Okay, so two things jump to my mind and your response. First of all, you named all the biggies. So is there one that is more effective than the other?
So there aren't any head-to-head studies yet, but we know based on the individual studies that tirzepatide, which is that brand name of Zepbound, is currently the most effective anti-obesity medication with an average weight loss of around 20%. Wegovy has an average weight loss of approximately 15% within its studies. Again, not head-to-head comparisons, but the general assumption is that the tirzepatide is more effective.
Okay, that's good to know because Zepbound is kind of entering stage right, so to speak, kind of late to the party, but it's interesting that it's more effective possibly. So, and the other thing you mentioned is about safety. So in taking the prescription medications, what kind of side effects, short and long term, can one look at here?
So all medications have side effects. That's an important point. And these certainly do. And mostly they include gastrointestinal side effects. Nausea is by far the most common. Then diarrhea and constipation would follow that. Most patients will experience digestive symptoms and side effects. And most patients will overcome them or adapt to them over time. But some people can't. And we know in the clinical studies that up to 10% of patients won't be able to tolerate these medications. And I think in the real world, what we're seeing is that number is higher. And we're seeing a greater number of patients discontinuing use due to those side effects. Now, other side effects are less common. Those would include things like gallstones, gallbladder disease, pancreatitis, dehydration. But things can certainly happen. And so that's why it's so important that patients using these medications are under close supervision and have close follow-up with their medical team.
Right. Okay. Well, those don't sound too heavy duty. I think I can deal with a little nausea to lose some weight. So that's also good news to me. Of course, now weight loss varies greatly between individuals. I know that the heavier you are, the quicker you'll lose. Men tend to lose quicker than women. But, you know, when you talk about 20%, Can you give us, and I know this is going to be a huge ballpark because of the variation, and I may be putting you on the spot a little bit here, but besides 20%, can you give us like a pound time kind of thing? In other words, like, can somebody expect to lose 30 pounds in 4 months? Like that kind of stat.
Sure. Yeah. Because most of us don't think about weight in terms of percentages. But the reason we speak to percentages is because then we can compare the weight loss from patient to patient or provide a general average expectation. But if you look at the clinical studies of these medications, the average patient lost somewhere between 30 and 40 pounds, more than those who took the placebo. And that was within about a year to a year and a half. Now, this is not rapid weight loss. This takes time. It takes 6 months, 5 to 6 months to titrate or increase the dose to the maximum. And typically the most weight loss will occur at the maximum dose. So there's a slow ramping up of the medication and then a gradual progressive weight loss over a year to year and a half. So again, it's not rapid. But you mentioned an important point, which is that weight loss will vary. So we speak about averages and 15% and 20%, but certainly some patients will lose more and some patients will lose less or will lose nothing. And there are definitely non-responders to these treatments, just as there are to any other treatments.
Okay, that's very interesting. I didn't know you had to progress with the dosage like that. So, all right. So now we're going to go back to Oprah a minute and People Magazine. And this is a quote from that publication. So I'm going to tell you what she said. And this is her quote, because I think this is so important, this one or two sentences she said. She said, "I had an awareness of medications, but felt I had to prove I had the willpower to do it. I no longer feel that way. Do you feel like the tides are turning and obesity is finally being recognized as a chronic disease as opposed to that lack of willpower? And how will the medical community help further advance this?"
Yeah, I believe the most significant development that has come out of all of the talk around these medications is that conversation about weight and about obesity has shifted. It's certainly starting to shift. And we're recognizing as a medical community that obesity is clearly a disease. And I believe that that's also being discussed more openly in the non-medical community. And the fact is, this is not a matter of willpower, but everybody in the world has been told that their entire lives. And so everyone believes that. And every patient I talk to feels that they've failed because they've dieted numerous times and haven't succeeded in losing weight. But the reality is that this is the way our bodies are built. They're designed to preserve weight. They're designed to prevent weight loss. And that's why it's exceedingly difficult to lose weight through just diet and exercise. It isn't about willpower. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Most patients who I see have tried for years a tremendous amount of effort and haven't succeeded, not because of a lack of effort, because of their physiology, because of their bodies, because of the condition of obesity.
Oh, you just redeemed a lot of people. And that's true. And you're so hard on yourself the most than other people. But while we're in this area of MythBusters, doctors everywhere tell patients that diet and exercise are effective for weight loss. But you cite actual research that this isn't true. And we've maybe that touched on it a bit. But tell us the data research actually says about diet and exercise and why doctors still are out there giving this ineffective advice.
So the evidence is overwhelming. Every study that's ever been done on diet and exercise or lifestyle modification shows that the average weight loss with these interventions is roughly 1 to 3% of body weight. Now compare that to what I mentioned with the weight loss medications being 15 to 20%, or weight loss surgeries and procedures being more than that. 1 to 3% is basically nothing. Even with the most intensive lifestyle modification, think of things like The Biggest Loser. Weight loss may be higher at first, but weight regain is essentially inevitable. Mm. So in the short term, of course, diet and exercise can be effective, but it's very difficult to maintain long term because of the body's adaptive mechanisms.
Absolutely. Okay. So a caveat. Access to these medications. I've seen Weight Watchers announce it has acquired Sequence, a subscription-based telehealth platform that provides telemedicine appointments with doctors who can prescribe these drugs. Noom is getting in on the game. Eli Lilly has created Lilly Direct Pharmacy Solutions, a digital pharmacy for select Lilly Medicines, powered by a third-party online pharmacy fulfillment service. I mean, it's like some of the issues around here is, well, I'm going to get into cost and insurance then my next question, but some of it is like a lot of doctors don't want to prescribe it. So some of these folks are providing an outlet for like, okay, let's at least get you a prescription, and then you'll have to deal with the cost and insurance and all that jazz. So I guess just give me a wrap up about all of that and your thoughts.
So that is true. Initially, there were really a lack of providers comfortable with prescribing these medications, but that's shifted. There are many more obesity medicine providers currently, and also many primary care physicians are more comfortable prescribing these. So really, the issue isn't a lack of prescribers. That is definitely not the issue. The barriers to access are different. They're related to cost, which is the number one barrier by far, insurance coverage, which goes along with cost, and then supply constraints. And really, it's those three factors that prevent the vast majority of patients from even accessing these medications at all.
So do you see any hope there, like with these price tags nearing of $1,000 to $1,500 a month for these game changers? Any new strides or hope when it comes to a reduction in costs or an increase in insurance coverage?
Not yet. And in fact, it's moving in the other direction currently. So we know in North Carolina that the state employees health plan recently dropped coverage for these medications entirely. And we're seeing that in other states and with other health plans. And so if anything, we're moving backwards currently. And the reason is that the cost is simply prohibitive for insurers, for health systems. Right now, they are simply too expensive to treat an entire population in need. So it's not to say there isn't hope and that things will not change, but currently we're not seeing a lot of progress in that area.
And the other thing with these meds, they're intended for adults 18 and older with a body mass index greater than 30 or greater than 27 with an obesity-related condition such as diabetes, high blood pressure. And you know, and that is truly, truly respected. You know, everybody can understand that. But for someone like me who has lost the same 15 pounds over and over again, in fact, I call them Wally when they come to visit, I sure wouldn't mind a little something, something. So eventually, do you see these drugs being more accessible to folks that, you know, don't have these 30% and 27, you know, just somebody who wants to lose maybe 20 or 30 pounds?
Well, we know that people are using them in that way. Certainly, we hear that from celebrities nonstop or see descriptions of that. But really, these aren't medicines that should be viewed as a little something something because they're actually long-term treatments for a chronic condition. So I totally understand your perspective. Like, you want something to help you get those few pounds off. But the problem is, if you start a medication like this, you must remain on it really for life, as far as we know right now. And so it may not be the best strategy, but that's why when we're treating a patient, we have to really look at the individual and the entire picture and health history and story and try to figure out what their best approach might be. Okay. But as for right now, there's very clear indications, as you mentioned, and we really do try to adhere to those indications. And also, it's worth noting that you can't obtain insurance coverage unless you stay within those confines.
So again, as the expert, you've been optimistic that the medical community can provide a viable treatment path for millions of Americans living with this obesity. But tell us why you feel that way, what's on the horizon, and let's talk a little bit about what's out there besides meds, because people might want to seek some other help with this issue, you know, different strokes for different folks. So if meds aren't what you're looking for, what's some other hope on the horizon here, other treatments?
Sure. Yeah, we've really made tremendous progress. And what a difference from even just a few years ago when we really only could tell patients you diet or exercise or surgery, and it really left nothing in between. And so what we now have just over the past few years is we have the development of these very effective medications. That's an option for some patients. We now have procedures that are effective and much safer and less invasive than surgeries. That's an area where I specialize. And we have endoscopic, meaning through the mouth, endoscopic procedures that can provide very significant weight loss with only a few days of downtime and a much, much lower risk than surgery. And that includes procedures like the endoscopic sleeve, which is a long-term weight loss procedure. We have shorter-term procedures like gastric balloons, which help you feel full and satisfied, much like some of the weight loss medicines, but we remove that balloon after 6 to 8 months and patients lose weight during that time. And then even traditional bariatric surgery is much safer than it ever was. And for certain patients, that will be the best option. So when I'm speaking with a patient, I like to review every option. Let's talk about medications. Let's talk about endoscopic procedures. Let's talk about traditional surgery. And really, we can find the best fit. So I'm definitely more optimistic than ever that we do have a solution available for every person in need.
That's wonderful. And I can hear your passion for helping people with this, again, disease. So, but you know, it's weight loss is not about weight loss. And I sense that you know that, and that's how you take care of so many people. Because, you know, it's about the self-worth, confidence, being able to live life to the fullest. So what is your best part of being a physician, helping patients get their weight under control?
Yeah, it's everything that you just mentioned. And that starts from the time when I first meet with a patient and we talk about goals. We're not talking about the number of pounds you want to lose. You know, what is it you're trying to improve? And I love hearing those stories from my patients. And it's about all those things you mentioned. I want to feel better. I want to feel more confident. I want my joints to improve. Mm-hmm. I want to, you know, change my clothing sizes. I want to be able to play with my kids and my grandkids. That's really what it's about. And when I see firsthand and hear about all of those non-scale victories, that is by far the best part of what I do.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing a lot of insight on this. I hope it helps some people out there.
Thanks so much for having me.
I do hope it helps some people out there, and certainly a lot to digest, a lot of good information. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So again, we don't recommend or endorse. I'm just putting it out there as, you know, one more thing to think about when we have so much of other things to think about. Anyway, it is time to high five and say goodbye. I'm Mary Innsbrucker for Triangle 411. Today's pocket, encourage others.